Fuck
you're,
it.
You're right, Chris. People do want to hear us bitching about.
Wait, I want to hear Nick's song.
Wealthy government.
He waits too long anyway. My point was before we were about ready to go live, Garrett. Just gonna play on top of me now.
I can't.
Hey, it's the best position. What?
What? Everybody likes being on the bottom. I'm a lazy fucker.
The point that I was going to make, and then we can move on or whatever. Maybe we'll come back to this.
Oh, we'll come back to it. Don't you worry.
Is that if they put the pressure on the banks and the mortgage lenders to just put a pause. I'm not saying nobody gets paid. Put those 3 months at the end of the 10-year mortgage, the 30-year mortgage, whatever you've got, okay?
It's what they're doing.
Because,
but if you call.
But come on, Jack. Seriously. And not everybody's going to do that because you have landlords that are not going to allow this because they need that rent because that's their income.
Yeah.
Okay. So it has to start from the top, and the fact that these banks are getting these a huge amount of money, they're looking at the biggest small businesses and not the smallest small businesses. And if there's a pause, okay, on all of this across the board, and I'm not just saying like you have to call or whatever, because that's bullshit. Okay, it should just be across the board, everybody, one big huge pause. Okay, then it takes the pressure off all of the little guys and these small businesses that are just going to fold like a house of cards because they're rent to they're living month to month, rent to rent. So that you know, I'm not an economist, just like I'm not an epidemiologist. So, you know, I'm not going to hear, you know,
say what are you?
Everything.
Yeah, what are you, Matt?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm not. Okay.
Farmer.
Jack, you're old and you're bald. Boom. Roasted. Nick?
Okay. Nick? Okay, Michael Scott.
Nick, I couldn't just. All your hippie musicians that you listen to, they called. They said your libertarian views are shit, and they want their music back. And Chris, I'm trying to think of a Michael Scott thing.
You don't live in Boston. Boom.
Your heart sucks, and you crush your wife when you're having sex. Boom. Roasted.
I think you crossed the line there.
What?
Did I cross the line? Because. No. Check the tapes. The last podcast, I was in tears. I mean, it took me this long to pull myself off.
We were all in tears.
Is that a quote laughing. From something? Because I've never heard that.
What?
Yeah, he.
Your Michael heart Scott sucks.
And I think you said that to. He said it to Stanley. Right?
He says it to Stanley. Yeah, Michael Thanks. Scott says. Actually, the one that I wanted to use on.
Well, Jack, fuck you very much, Matt.
Was I couldn't decide between a bald joke and an old joke. Boom, roasted. But anyway, I fucked it up. Here we go.
That's what I was saying to my sister earlier today. I was like, instead of this, you know, $1,200 stuff and all the money that's just going to universities and all this other BS, it's like, why didn't they just guarantee a government-backed loan for anyone that needed it? It's like basically saying like, hey, every citizen out there can take an interest-free loan for 5 years up to like $10,000 or $15,000, whatever, as you need it.
But
you
know, this still benefits the biggest people, because this is what happened with some of the banks. They went for the biggest small businesses and not the smallest small businesses.
Right.
Well, how are they gonna loan it to like Joe Schmo that's earning $9 at the Dairy Queen, right?
Well, they also sent checks out to dead people, and they don't even want it back.
And a zero and a 0%. I don't believe that for a minute. So and a 0%.
I don't know. That's what I read.
It's a 0%. Fuck the loan bullshit. So the smallest person that's going to hurt.
Who is the smallest person? I haven't had the Guinness Book of World Record book.
I'm just saying the smallest earning employee out there isn't going to have the wherewithal to actually go through the rigmarole to actually make this happen. And those are the people that are going to suffer the most. It's going to squeeze them just as it's squeezing all of the other little guys right now.
But it's always been that. It's always been that way.
Right. It is. But
you know what we should be squeezing right now?
Balls.
Those sweet frets on that little ukulele. Go ahead, Nick.
On that note, Nick.
Wow. Just kill that.
Squeeze away, Nick. We don't have anybody in the chat yet.
Well, I don't think it starts for another 3 minutes.
Oh, it's because we had 15 different times.
Yeah. So everyone that, you know, is just going to miss.
And I was here before Matt. Yeah. I heard you guys the whole time I was here before Matt.
Mm-hmm. Oh. It's because I had a grocery store.
The grocery store's open at 10 o'clock at night?
Ours closes at 10. So I was.
What about Jack in the Box? Are they still open?
I thought Nick was going to play his song.
Jack in the Box usually stays open until like 1, I think.
Well, it depends on during these times. It could be.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
I'm eagerly awaiting when the Jack in the Box comes to Fort Collins because the nearest one to me is in Greeley and that's a 32-minute drive.
Mine's Charlotte, which is 2.5 hours away.
Okay. So you get it worse.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And if you, when I was younger, if you took, a blood sample from me, mm-hmm. it'd be Jack in a Box grease. Half of it would be my DNA.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Still is that way.
Everybody's gonna live, and everybody's gonna die. Everybody's gotta live. I think you know the reason why. Sometimes that going gets so good, but then again it gets pretty rough. But when I hear that ramble cast, you know I just can't get enough. Oh yeah, everybody's gotta live. And everybody's gonna die. Everybody's trying to have a good time. I think you know the reason why.
What's that? Two?
Two, yeah, Deuce.
Oh, Deuce, yeah. That is a song by Love, 1974. Love. Yeah.
Nice job. It might be also your sampled best by one
Mac
yet.
Miller, I think.
Huh?
I think it's also sampled by Mac Miller.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who the hell is Mac Miller?
He's gone.
Okay. He's gone. He's on the dead side?
Yeah.
Okay. That happens.
He escaped.
Everybody has to die.
He escaped the corona rant.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, Matt, I go, last night you were on the Lost Rewatch.
And that was a lot of fun.
So happy-go-lucky. And then you come in this thing, it's like, ah!
Well, I may have triggered him. I may have triggered him earlier.
Why, by showing up?
I was probably triggered because I had to go to the grocery store right before.
I mean, you came up with the greatest theory of all that Paulo was wearing briefs.
I'm not positive.
That he couldn't be wearing boxers because the diamonds would have fell right through.
Would have slid right through. There's no way that it kept that.
But what about boxer briefs?
Well, that's what somebody said. I saw somebody make a comment about that, but I don't
know. We all went with Matt's theory because we couldn't argue with him at the
time.
Where's
the proof? So, if he's wearing boxers, like there's never pockets in boxers, am I right?
Yeah, and I didn't want to say at the time because, but he did have that, when Nicky was digging for the diamonds. Obviously, he was, the spider's head, neutralized everything, so that's why.
Oh, he was kind of like, I was waiting for this my whole life.
I was thinking he couldn't say it happens to everybody, but on this situation, it was probably because I was in the pool because she's digging quite a bit in there. So it's like, am I right?
I mean, I think they just they made it a little bit longer dig. So we're talking about the expose episode. So that was one of the episodes of the Nicky Paulo episode.
Razzle Dazzle. That's the one with Carl Weathers, right?
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Carl Weathers is in that one.
In Mandalorian. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Carl Weathers is everyone's favorite. He was great in Star Wars.
That he was.
I've got nothing. I got nothing. Hey, everybody.
When he tells Han Solo, ain't gonna be no rematch.
And Han Solo goes,
I don't want one.
Hey Matt, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing okay now that I got back from the grocery store and everything's all right now.
Did you wear a mask?
I did wear a mask.
There you go. All right. So, cool. There's still people out here going out in public without masks.
If not for my own protection, for other people's protections.
Yeah.
You don't I visit my 80-year-old mother-in-law. I don't want to get anything and pass it on to her. So, you know, like if I'm shopping and I'm getting things for her, you know, or we're going to visit her in a week's time and, you know, we're trying to limit the exposure to her, but you do have to check on the elderly because, you know, I mean, thankfully she's not in a nursing home. But, you know, she also is going a little stir crazy because she wants to see her kids and her kids are all being very cautious as they should, you know, like.
So as far as I'm concerned, Matt, you have zero to justify to fucking anybody for wearing a mask. It's the assholes that aren't that have all the justifying or the.
Now, what if people can't get find the mask or they can't get them?
Figure it out.
Fuck it.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like, fucking figure it out.
Hey, I'm just throwing it out.
Everybody and their fucking step cousin has a video on Facebook on how to make a goddamn mask that's going to be better than nothing. Right.
And if anything, just.
I don't want to hear that bullshit. Yeah. Sorry, Jack. I'm not trying to jump down your throat. I'm just jumping.
I was just throwing it out there for
like, fuck you. Stay the fuck home. Like, if you can't take a fucking. Tell you what. Ready? I happen to have. I have this on my desk. I'm not taking a shit in the middle of the show. But here you go. Here's a piece of toilet paper.
I don't think
that's better.
I don't think your single ply stuff would work.
How's this?
Yeah, exactly.
I like how it goes around your nose.
Whatever you gotta do, fuck off. If you can't figure out a fucking first grade art project on how to put together a goddamn makeshift scarf, then you don't need to go to the fucking grocery store.
Correct. And
sorry,
I'm in the liquor.
I am not an animal. I am a human being.
Because you know you got to stock up while you're there, and I was getting a little low on gin, and
the truth comes out. It wasn't about buying food. I can't podcast without alcohol.
Here's a gin run.
So I'm in there, and these other two people are shopping, and then all of a sudden, like I hear one of them cough. And it's not a good cough. And it was just one of those like,
yeah,
fuck you and whoever you're with, get the hell away from me.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. Peace out.
But not until I get my gin.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct. At least
wait right there. I'll be right back.
All they had left. Actually, had Stegram's left. That's all it was, wasn't it? You're just like, oh, okay.
No, the things that were out are low, and they actually had flour because the last couple times I've gone, they didn't have flour. But that was one of the things that I had stocked up on before this all.
Cindy found bleach today.
Oh, I also found toilet paste. So,
yeah, I was like going, wow, bleach.
And it wasn't stocking up like crazy on it. I just give me enough to get by. That's all I want. Like, you know, leave some for the next
year. They say we're going to have a bounce. They said today. What did they say today? And Trump wasn't happy about it because there's going to be a bounce back in.
So it was actually December. It was actually fucking hilarious because I don't know why I did it, but I did. And I watched the first like 15 minutes of his fucking circus show today. And it was in reference to a comment that the director of the CDC.
Yes.
Made to the New York Times or Post or something. I don't know who or what it was. To some newspaper. And his quote was, and I'm paraphrasing, so it's not a quote. What the idea of what he said was, is that we have the potential of having a second round of this in the fall.
And it'll be worse.
It'll be worse because of, you know, it'll be worse for us because of a number of factors, including the fact that it's going to be flu season as well. So obviously the White House has been backtracking on that call, that comment, and he probably got his ass kicked behind the scenes for saying it. He opens up the fucking press conference to address it. Mm-hmm. And it was just such like you need to go out there and say this or you're fucking fired moment. So he goes out there.
I would say fire me.
He's like, I want to address a couple of things that I said that, but you know this, you know it was. I was quoted in saying this, but you're not getting the whole picture. Like what I was referring to is this, and it was out of context. and he goes, "I didn't say it was going to be worse. We were going to be worse off. I said it was going to be more difficult than it is now." And I heard him say that, and I fucking just started dying laughing. I'm like, "Are you did you just say that? Like, you just said that you didn't say it, but you did say it kind of thing. And then you hear fucking douchebag in the background saying, well, what was the headline? What was the headline? Like, he's just like
talking fake news. People. Fake news.
Like, oh, you other fuck you. Oh, you fucking sorry. I'm sorry. I'm gonna get ornery. I'm already there. But some of the shit that's coming out of those press conferences, some of the stuff that's being coming out of that White House is an abomination. Like, it's fucking terrible. Like, I know it's no different than it's ever been, but it can't be like that now. Like, it just can't be like that. Not now. Like, the only thing that I heard that made a modicum of sense is that Trump actually agrees with me on one thing.
Georgia.
And that's fucking Georgia. Yeah. Like you fucking idiots. Like what are you serious? Like
what's the joke? Because Jay told me before I record. He goes, it's okay, Georgia, you're up 28-3.
Yeah. You're up 28-3. We got this.
I said, what a kick in the nuts again. Oh my God.
I know. It's just like
so Trump was against Georgia opening up?
Well, they asked him that question.
He was in the press conference.
In the press conference, they said, you know, what do you think about Georgia opening up? And he said, well, he goes, you know, I helped that guy get elected, you know, but of course he has to turn it all to himself. And he was just like, he goes, but, you know, I told him, I don't agree with, because, you know, it's up to the governors if they want to reopen
their own states.
He goes, but he goes, yeah, like when he's saying, you know, I'm going to reopen up, you know, the gyms, I'm going to reopen up the massage parlor. He goes, those aren't essential businesses. He goes, you know, he goes, so, you know, if it gets worse,
the massage parlor, what is Robert Kraft visiting Georgia?
No, exactly. Dude, he said that. He fucking said that. And I don't think he meant to. Like, because massage parlors is not part of the whole fucking thing. That's the best part. That was like the biggest Freudian slip in his press conference history, because massage parlors was not part of the subset of businesses they're going to be reopening in Georgia. It was tattoo parlors. Yeah, it's tattoo parlors.
Oh, yeah.
Hair salons. Okay, first of all, she's not listening to this, so it's okay. I have a friend of mine from high school who has since relocated down to Georgia, and she runs a hair salon. It's like, it's her business. She runs it there. And I don't know her very well anymore. I mean, I keep in touch with her on Facebook. You see the basic bullshit that we all post about our families, this, that, and the other. But so I know enough the fact that she runs a hair salon. And I also know that I know her well enough on Facebook that she just had a fucking kid like a month and a half ago. And she's all posting on her Facebook page about how she's gonna, you know, she's not gonna be opening on the day of that they reopen. They're gonna stagger it, but she's gonna be taking appointments as soon as April 31st or some bullshit. And it has taken every ounce of my being.
Wait, there is no April 31st.
Back. Whatever the fuck it was, I don't know. Like the last April 30th. I don't even know what the fuck it was. Whatever it was, but she's all posting on
maybe
how she's
April
32nd, and she's excited to be back with her clients. And it takes every fucking ounce of my being to not say, don't murder your fucking newborn. I want to, but I'm not going to say that because that's not going to be very socially acceptable.
I'll tell you what. I will do it.
Jen hit it, man.
I just don't understand.
Calm him down.
Like it's almost as if Trump gave us all electrolytes and like we're about to live in Idiocracy. For real,
we've been living in inner Idiocracy for a while.
Not all of us.
Yeah,
I just don't fucking get it.
I did see a funny video about, you know, beauty shops opening back up again, and it showed like some woman, you know, how they have those sinks that they wash their hair in. Like she laid down in it, and the woman just had a bucket of water and like threw it at her from a distance. and then she had like the pool cleaning, you know, thing with the brushes up there. Like, okay, I'm gonna brush like, your hair now.
Hedge trimmers, the whole
yeah, night. Like from everything from a distance. Like
that's funny.
But it's driving me. I mean, it's driving me crazy. But like that one section of the press conference he's talking about, he's like, I love these people. I love tattoo people who go to tattoo shops, people who go to massage parlors, people who go to the gym. These are my people. I love these people. It's like, yeah, of course you do. You love people who go to Rub and Tugs. You're like best friends of Robert Kraft. Whoops, I said it.
Thanks, Chris.
Sorry, rant over.
Apparently,
I did now, have a. Everybody had your mask.
Everybody had your mask. Wearing the mask, so I'll put it back on.
Cindy and I went to the store the other day, and we had. She has a scar. I have my mask, and I said, "Are we allowed in the banks with these things on?"
Yeah. Oh, that's another funny thing I saw. Whereas, and somebody posted that up. Whereas, like, I walked into the bank today. The security guard told me I was not allowed to enter without a mask. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my life.
But I was thinking, because I know people who used to work in the bank, they didn't like people that wore sunglasses. Mm. There were certain things they didn't like because they think that's what people, when they're going to rob you, they have who wears sunglasses inside a bank. But, you know, I'm thinking now everybody has a mask on and potentially everyone could be.
Well, my friend who lives in Berkeley, it is now they have, like, stores won't let you in if you don't have a mask on.
Yeah, the next town over for me, in Bellingham, Massachusetts, is now instituting a everybody over the age of 5. I think they said anybody over the age of 5 has to wear a mask. If you get caught wearing a mask,
it's my God-given right not to wear it. The Target we go to, they finally their employees finally started wearing masks, and they finally got the plexiglass up. They didn't have a couple weeks ago. They had no plexiglass and they had no mask. I'm like going. These guys, how come they're not wearing masks? How come they're not plexiglass? It was, I don't know. Anyway,
hot tip: don't shop at Walmart.
Another hot tip: iron pokers. Iron pokers are hot tips.
Hot tip: if you're going to steal diamonds and stash them, don't wear boxers.
Wear briefs
because you're just going to lose them.
So when I was checking out at my grocery store, just
you were checking out briefs, people, guys in briefs.
I'm not going. No, mm-mm. Not going to do it.
I think he's at the co-op. He's looking for sheep.
Wait, I apologize. I said I wouldn't do that this week. I apologize.
Hey, Chris. Chris in the chat says I work at a credit union. Most of financial institutions have closed lobby access and are forcing people to use drive-through.
Yes, that's how ours are.
Yes. That was actually one of the things I'd never had done it for because I was so used to doing everything in person at the bank.
Yeah.
Was that when I got all my tax refunds back in, you know, they send you the actual check. And, you know, I was just looking on my mobile app and I was like, oh, I can just take a picture of the check. And then it automatically, I was like, I'll never go to the bank again.
Yeah, that's what we do. Or we go through the ATM because the bank, our bank, they close the drive-through. But the problem is they have two ATMs. They're in the same lane. So if it's stupid. I go, why don't they use the other one? Oh, they have two ATMs, drive-through ATMs in the same lane. So if someone is in front of you, obviously use the one the nearest mm-hmm. one. Well, the person behind you can't go. I they have all this room. Why don't they get more anyway?
Do your drive-through tellers have like the pneumatic tube?
I love those things. Yeah.
So
well, cool. we don't have the drive through anymore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an episode of Lost.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, we also discovered where the
poop
toilet
goes.
Poop goes, and
we talked about that yesterday too.
Because the plumbing in some of those hatches, they're down deep. You have to
Jorge actually knew where the poop went.
No, he was on last night.
This was me theorizing.
Oh, theorizing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, this is me coming up with some plans there. Because
so there, like you see the pile of tubes mm-hmm. with the little notebooks in there. There's got to be a pile of poop somewhere.
Oh,
yeah. So
just look for the flies.
Yeah.
This is great. So good.
I know it's a lot of people showing up because they probably thought the show started at 10:25.
It's, you know, well, 10:20 is what I originally put. 10:15, 10:20.
I posted 10:25. I was
and we were just starting a little early so that Chris can get some beauty rest. Have enough time to get enough sleep.
Jay called him out on the Survivor podcast, but that's okay.
You didn't miss anything. Anybody that joined late, I mean, just Chris bitching for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and me coming. Jay up called with my
who called who out in the Survivor podcast?
He called you out. I'm with JP. It's why does a drive up ATM have a braille on the keypad? I always wonder about that. I said, well, I don't get it.
I guess.
Hold on. What the fuck did Jay call me out for on this podcast?
You don't want to know.
I forgot to roast Jay. Because I didn't see him there behind that grain of rice. Boom, roasted. Sorry, that was my other. It's also office related. So for anybody,
you might have said something like, "Jack has to leave early because Chris Skypack is a big baby."
Mm. Fuck you, Jay.
That's what he said. I don't want to be the one to tattle on anybody, but that's kind of what he said.
Jay doesn't even podcast anymore. He's irrelevant.
And then Colleen, we find out, is using dating apps. So
who is?
What?
Jay's using dating apps?
No, Colleen.
Why would Colleen use dating
apps? I would too if I were Colleen.
Boom, roasted.
Boom, roasted.
There's your title for tonight's episode. Boom, roasted. Yeah, you have to listen to the Survivor podcast to find out why Colleen is using dating apps. So,
By the way, thank you for Kayla for sending me this in the mail. I do appreciate you sending me your artwork.
It's awesome.
It's kind of a turn of events to actually receive somebody else's. And speaking of dating apps, my wife has some follow-up questions and doesn't want me to use dating apps for a podcast. So,
well, talk to Colleen.
Okay.
I did want to say something because last week we did kind of pick on Matt, right?
Sure did.
He was kind of the butt of the jokes because he's, you know, had some sheep on his farm.
He was 8 years old and you guys are fuckers.
So I told Matt yesterday, I said, okay, I will tell something that's embarrassing to me. And then you guys can, you know, go with what you want, because I said, you know, he was kind enough to join me on the Lost Rewatch yesterday. And anyway, so I have a bad knee from years ago. I was reffing and this kid fell and he slid. The two kids fell and he slid and his helmet head went right into the side of my knee, buckled me. My leg went one way, my body went the other way. I fell on the kid. The kid was like 10 or 11 years old. I mean, I literally probably crushed him because it was like bang, bang, boom. So the coach runs out and goes, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And he's talking to me. Mm. He's picking me up and the kid's laying there crying because I've smashed the kid. And I go, "Well," I go, "yeah, I'm good. But I did hurt my knee." It every now and then it's just like, I don't know if I tore something in there. It hurts, but I'm not like a big wimp. I play through it. You know, I'm not like Tom Brady the one year he couldn't play the season because, oh, my knee hurts. I play through it. So the other day I was going to go check the mail and it had been raining and stuff. My wife goes, "Are you going to go out there barefoot and you're going to track the dirt in the house?" I go, and she had her shoes sitting there and her shoes they're not high heels, but they have like, you know, they have the, I don't know what you call them. They have the extra, you know, they're not flat. They have a heel to them.
Arch support.
I don't know what you call them. They have like a you know, a heel on the bottom like this. Whatever you want to call them, I don't know what they call them.
Flats.
They're not flats because they're
pumps.
Pumps. Okay, they're pumps. Guy Chris knows.
So you wear pumps?
Let me finish. Walk in the bar. So I said, I'll just take your fucking shoes. How's that? And so I put her shoes on and walked a couple of steps, joking. You know, I can be a kind of a smart ass. Have you ever seen that model on the runway where she's walking and her legs go all over the place and she kind of loses control and falls? That was me. Ah. I made about 2.5 steps. I start going like this and I go boom, and my knee, I tweaked my knee, and I mean I'm in pain. But I can't show it because, you know, again, I'm not Tom Brady. So but no, seriously, I walk.
Hey man, he's not my quarterback anymore.
My knee, so it's the old injury, but my knee's been killing me ever since I decided to be a smartass and put my wife's fucking shoes on, and she just thinks it's fucking funny.
So
did you learn a lesson? I go.
So she knows.
Well,
that's not great.
Well, she was there. I mean,
okay.
She goes, "Did you learn a lesson?" I go, "Look, I'm 57 years old. You think I'm gonna change now?" But it was funny to her that I did have the, and boom, down I went. You know. I mean, I'm an old man. I could have broke my hip.
Do you? I have
mean, like Matt knows what I'm talking about.
So, do you have one of those like things like that records? You know, like from your doorbell.
We have a doorbell. I wasn't outside.
A camera,
a dream. a ring.
We have cameras in the house, but there was no camera pointed at me at that. I would have played it. I would have, because it probably looked funny. But my knee is killing me, and it is. And I won't go to the doctor because I'm not going to the doctor for this. It's like,
well, it's not essential. Yeah.
Well, it's not. I mean, I had the heartburn thing going on. I'm not going to do that. So it's like, I'm not going to any hospital right now unless I have to.
So what?
Unless I go down to Georgia.
So what you're saying is that you have an old injury because you used to fuck sheep and you fell the other day because you were wearing women's shoes. Got it.
No, I wasn't fucking.
I think sheep. you're jumping to conclusions.
Yeah,
there,
I go. There's no sheep on an ice rink.
Yeah, our burns are at least based on fact.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't grow up on a farm. Fucking sheep,
no, we said so. Based on fact.
There's no fact.
The fact of the matter is, you had sheep,
and you grew up on a farm,
and for we like based a it upon that
period. When I was
oh, what 3 month period? You said they weren't there that long.
I did. Like,
well, they got 3 months. Scared.
3 months, 2 months. I don't know. I just remember
they felt a little bit sheepish.
I tried, Matt. I tried, but you had to try to come back with the cheap joke and try and
dude, say that you opened the barn door.
And unfortunately, it squeaked. It's your barn door squeaked, so the sheep knew you were coming in.
I don't even have pictures of the.
Well, why would you have pictures of it?
Well, because I had, you know.
That's
I
a whole a... level of other types of sicknesses. <right now.
laughs> It meant nothing to you.
Wait. I took a lot of dude, photographs.
Stop. I don't want to pick on you this week.
I took a lot of Viagra.
those Polaroids don't age well. You
know. I don't want to pick on Matt this week. Yes, I
thank,
do.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, speaking of picking on people, I think we should pick this moment right now to take a commercial break so that everybody can check out their use.
Yes. They're you, I got it.
Speaking of Tom Brady, he got busted in the park down in Tampa Bay for
exercising. I heard about that.
Yeah.
I heard about that. And how about the fact that the New England Patriots somehow traded away a retired football player / wrestler for a 4th-round pick?
Really? How is that possible?
But they gave up a 7th-round pick, though, too.
Yeah, but we also gave up $10 million of Gronk's contract.
So, I think it's a good move for Tampa Bay, though.
You can't lose if you're Tampa Bay, but we well, totally
if there's a season.
Yeah, if we could do Tampa Bay sucks. They're not going to win.
Tampa Bay has a great offense.
Well, now they're turning because it's Patriots South, but like I just think it's hilarious that Gronk, who is retired effectively, I mean, he says he's retired, but we still have a contract for him. He also signed a deal with the WWE. We somehow traded him.
Do you see that he said that he retired because he didn't want to play for Detroit?
Is that right?
Don't blame him there.
Who does?
Yeah. Wow. Speaking of teams who suck, did you guys see the new uniforms for the LA Chargers?
Yeah.
I did not.
They're the dark blue?
Yeah, they actually had like, I think, 7 different varieties of.
Oh, I thought that was like an
for their 7 thing. Fans. Yeah.
7 fans. Well, because everyone goes, oh, great. They went back to the San Diego uniforms.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just, everyone's like going, and it's like, it's people in San Diego want the Spanos family to get those uniforms for fucking 30 plus years. It's like, hey, can you put the yellow pants, the numbers on the helmet, the powder blue for 30 fucking years?
Yeah.
They kept saying, now we'll give you a powder blue. You can wear, we'll wear the powder blues once a year.
Yeah, I don't think the numbers are on the helmets, but everything else is true.
No, they have. They have the
numbers? Have
the,
okay.
Because that's the old style. Because the Chargers have the best uniforms of all time. I mean, they just do, but the team sucks. But that's just another example. I've been arguing with people on Twitter today with people. It wasn't Spanos' fault. The city didn't want them. They just said, fuck you every turn they could. You don't. Anyway.
So true.
Yeah, I saw them. They're great uniforms, but the team sucks. And fuck Dean Spanos. Fuck him. You know, if I saw him, I would walk up to him without a mask on. And
so as obviously as if, okay. So if wow, I mean, I'm gonna take a pause for a second. Jack soak goes that one in for a second.
Jack goes to jail.
I'm getting some.
It would be worth it.
So speaking for the non-Charger fans, which I think there's a few of us here, I did not know that the the nice check. I did not know that that little detail there that you guys have been like trying to get those uniforms as fans for the longest time. Yeah. That's a dick move to like take what the San Diegans wanted that you said no to and give it to the folks in Los Angeles. That's bullshit.
From the time he bought the team, they said, okay, go back to the Powder Blues, go back to all that. And they kept saying, nah. It took them long enough just to do it once in a while. But when they got to LA, they wore them, I think they wore them twice a season or something like that. And then they decide, okay, it's like every time they every chance, I don't know why people remain Charger fans. The people from San Diego, I get it. I don't get in arguments with people. If you decide that's what you decide to do, that's what you decide to do. But the way they left, the way they treated the fans when they were there, they didn't get the stadium because they don't know what they're fucking doing, and they treated people like shit. That's why they didn't get a stadium, and they didn't want the stadium because they saw what the Clippers sold for. You know, that guy overpaid for the Clippers $2 billion when Sterling had to sell the team. So he said, oh, dollar signs. I'm going to go to L.A. because I'll be able to sell my team for a lot more than I can in San Diego. So he's an asshole. Fuck it. Spanos.
Nick's comments in the chat were fantastic. He's, I think Matt's tripping balls right now. Oh, hey.
I just was listening to Jack talk about San Diego. I kind of get lost a little bit.
I'm a Colts fan now, so fuck it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited, you know? So
yeah, I'm ready for the – but I don't know if there's going to be a season.
No, I don't think
there will be. I think 2020 is canceled, all of it.
Because someone made a good point. He goes, well, they're talking about having the NFL with no fans. And they said the best, and everyone's been saying, well, people talk to the Chargers, see how that works. But they said, right. They go, what happens with that one play? Because so look at that in the NBA, one player tested positive, they shut the season down.
Exactly.
What happens if a player talks, gets, you know, the virus or a referee, you're going to have to shut the season down. It's stupid even. And coming up, well, tomorrow, it's risky because you're going to draft players who are not going to have training camp.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, that most players going from college to the pros is a huge, huge jump.
So is Tom Brady, like, the next time he plays, he's going to be like 43 or something like that?
Exactly.
He's 43 now.
Oh, okay. So he's going to be like my age when he plays.
But he may not play. It's like Rivers signing with the Colts.
He might need a contract extension before he plays his first game in Tampa.
And that's what the people with mortgages need, a contract extension.
There we go. Back to the contract. Back to mortgages.
Back to my rant at the beginning.
So again, I will align with a statement you made. I am not an economist, nor am I an epidemiologist. However,
I'm an alcoholic.
I'm not. You know what? I have actually done an exceptional job.
No, I wasn't talking about you, but it could imply. But I was talking about me.
I'm talking about Matt. I will tell you.
You went drunk last night.
No, I wasn't. I actually didn't drink. I didn't drink yesterday. I've been taking long breaks from drinking. So that's probably why. Like tonight, I'm like really excited because I was like, yeah, like I'm gonna have some. Drinks with my friends, and don't show off your weed to me, okay? Because this is just this is just painful.
Wow!
No, don't do that. That's
you had a good day at the store, huh?
I can't. This is
I got some candies. I got some chocolate covered coffee beans. I've got some dark chocolate blackberry crunch drops.
Oh, so these are real candies.
And I got some chocolate-covered blueberries.
I thought this was going to be something that was going to be...
And some sour raspberry fruit chews.
Ooh, those sound good.
These are all infused or just chocolate-covered stuff?
I can't.
I'll let you decide.
Oh, nice. I miss my Chewies. I mean, that I never slept better. Oh, nice. Oh. Yeah, nice.
Wait, I thought you had to get up in the morning and work.
They still help you sleep.
Yeah, true.
They do help you sleep. I mean, that's the one thing that
does help you sleep. I would give up alcohol.
It tastes fantastic.
I can just get some weed. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, because my wife told me, she goes, you were drinking too much, and you're really out of shape. She told me that.
Oh,
because I don't know if it's from the heartburn or the back. I get shortness of breath. I mean, I get, you know, she goes, because you're out of fucking shape, were her exact words. I go, well, yeah. She goes, 4 years ago, you were reffing. You were on the treadmill every day. You were doing, I go, yeah. I go,
what of it?
Thanks. She goes, now you can't even walk up a flight of stairs. I go,
that's just not fair, Jack. I mean, we're here for you. I mean, you might not be here for me.
I'm here for you, Matt.
Thank you.
I told my story for you, and you fucked it up. But you fucked up the story. I was diverting all, and you brought it back.
How am I supposed to make fun of you for that?
Make it about me. Make it about me.
Hey, I just noticed something. Have I ever mentioned this?
Your finger?
Right there.
My all painting. I see is blue and black and a little bit of a moon.
I'm going to bring it up. Hold on 1 second. Right back.
This better be interesting.
It's probably not.
Don't know what you're doing there.
It's something.
Are you saying you have art and Matt doesn't?
He's showing us where his safe is at. Oh, yes.
I remember that.
The Black Rock. That's nice. You're just showing us the frame.
No, there's text. We can't read with the glare.
Oh, okay.
That's nice.
Is there a little bit of arts on it?
Which listener sent that? What listener sent that to you?
Today, for the first time I've ever come back. That's a quote from the show. Yeah.
What listener sent that to you? Was that because did Matt get one too?
No, this is Jorge sent it to me. What? I'm kidding. 267 of 500. It is a limited print.
I'm reading Matt's private chat.
It's only for the private
people. I know. I won't say it. Oh, God.
So if it makes you feel any better.
Jesse, that's not why I fell. I was not drinking when I was wearing those shoes.
So that art piece there was from... like shortly after the show ended, there was like a benefit
auction,
for like some lost artwork.
Yeah.
And I bought that one. I thought it was pretty cool. So I got it and then so fucking pissed. As I was taking it out of the poster tube, I fucking tore the corner of it.
What a dick.
So I know. So I brought it to a local framing company here in Franklin and they were able to kind of mend it together, so you can hardly tell.
Can I give you some advice, Chris? Next time, do it sober.
Still ripped.
That's what framers are for.
Yeah,
I used to frame, you know, back in the day.
So they did a nice job. They put that in the frame there, and finally got some artwork on the wall.
It's nice looking. I like it.
Thanks.
Good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Has it always been up there? Or is it just you just put it up there?
Within the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
There you go.
You can see it. So you went to a framer in the last couple of weeks during quarantine?
No. I've had it framed for I got it framed probably 7 or 8 years ago.
Oh, okay.
6 or 7 years
ago. Did you just wear a mask?
No, so I got it like 6 or 7 years ago and then had it framed then. Okay. I did have it up in my basement in my last house, but since moving here
luckily it wasn't floating around.
I know.
Have you put a black light on there? Is there anything special?
I mean, I didn't get that excited around it, but
okay.
I mean, I like the art piece, Matt, but I don't like it that much.
Okay. Richard Alpert was on this. Woo!
I get where you're coming from, Matt, though, because like you know, if you got the limited edition, the original box set for Show Lost, there actually is hidden stuff all throughout the box set, and you have to have a black light to see it.
I don't know if I don't think I have a black light, but now I'm intrigued. I want to see if there's any secret message.
Yeah.
But that's my black.
I did not know that. That's nice.
Speaking of secret messages, I feel like Nick's name here on the show, Deuce.
Deuce.
Dropping a deuce.
is what we call it back in the day.
It's Deos.
I called it back at 4:30, actually.
I think you're talking about April 31st.
Yeah,
maybe.
I feel like it's a reference to devs.
It is a reference.
I haven't seen it. Fuck, I haven't seen the last
episode. What the hell, Chris?
I know. I've been fucking busy, man.
I haven't even started it yet, so you gotta stop.
I throw the challenge flag because Chris,
the what?
Nick and I.
What do you throw? What did you just throw?
The challenge flag. This is the
challenge. Oh, okay. All right. That's not what you said.
Okay. Well, my good friend, Nick and I.
Yeah.
We have
we did our responsibility.
We did. And it was good, right?
I was very happy with devs all the way through. There comes a point in the last episode where you're thinking, you know, like, oh man, don't cop out. Yeah. Like don't be typical, and then they did not. And
good. I'm excited to watch it.
I'm not gonna go any more than that, Chris. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it is a good. I mean, there is
a Jack. We don't spoil for Jack.
It is satisfying.
It's satisfying. Yeah, there's definitely a few questions I have in my brain from the ending that I'm like, oh, but you know, it's kind of like leftovers.
I'll watch it. I'll watch
the mystery bit, I guess.
I'll let you know what's going on.
And there's some things that I think that you can pick up on if you
watch it again, probably.
Yeah, exactly. But I just have to say that, like. The other show that I watched this week, and I think I even tweeted Jack or made a comment about it, but on a post, I was in a dark place, guys. And I know there's a lot of people out there that are also in a dark place because let's face it, quarantine sucks. Okay. You're alone. You're drinking way too much.
For Desmond.
You're tripping balls. You're thinking about the past and like what 2020 is now.
This is your present.
So one night I just, you know, I'm watching Battlestar Galactica and I'm working on the computer as I do. And my apologies for JP. I know he invites me along to the game night, which I apologize too. I have not been able to join in. Saturday night tends to be a time that I'm either usually working on artwork or I'm working on work. And, So I'm watching Battlestar Galactica, and it reminded me of my friend Ed, who passed away 7 years ago. And some of that stuff, you know, when you lose someone, you can kind of bury that stuff deep down inside, and it all came back, and then this kind of, you know, just hit me. It was a show that he introduced me to. We connected with. I mean, we were friends for a lot of different reasons, but.
I can't believe it's been 7 years already.
Yeah, it just came all the way back, like just crashing. Like I was just remembering all the good stuff because sometimes you can remember some of the like the bad things, and I was remembering a lot of the good things, and it was making me sad. And then the very next day, Sunday night, I put on Westworld after watching Devs. So I'm watching Devs, which can get a little dark, but Westworld, and this last episode of Westworld. Got real fucking dark. Like you're dealing with quarantine times and what the fuck is going on with that show. It just hit me in a way sideways where I was just like, it just got too dark for me in my mind. And I had to like cleanse the palate with some Office or something. Cause I just,
what about Man from Tallahassee? You had to watch that one too.
Yeah, that one hit you. Yeah,
but you know, I mean, and
expose.
But going back to Lost, though, like, can rekindle some good feelings, though, and good memories of just like because I know where things go with that show. And
I mean, when Locke gets pushed out the window,
that put
a smile on my face.
No, but you know, Matt, to your point, though, like you mentioned things that can pop up that can totally just. Flip you on a dime, right? And
yeah,
I've been there with that too. I had that moment this week actually. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit too and get a little vulnerable. But my daughter wanted to watch I forgot the name of it. It's a new Disney Pixar movie with
Onward. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I like highlighted imagine. it I highlighted it, and like, you know, when you're highlighting it, you got like a preview or whatever. I think I watched a preview of it just to see it, to refresh my memory what it was. And I watched that, and I looked at it. And I turned it off, right? And I looked at my daughter, and you know, so my daughter's 8 years old, and I looked at her. I go, Em, I don't think I can watch that movie with you. And she's like, why? I go, do you know what it's about? And she's like, yeah, it's about this, that, and the other. And she was saying it. And like those moments where an 8 year old fucking gets it. It's like that moment where like a light bulb goes off in her head and she goes, oh my gosh. I go, yeah, I don't think I can watch it. I think I'll be too upset. And then she started bawling. Oh. I start bawling. And she's like, I miss grandpa so much. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, you know, like, yeah. And then I was a mess. And so I'm probably never going to watch that movie because of that moment, you know? And, but it's,
you know, I will say this about that movie. And I watched it with my kids and my daughter who's 13. You know, I thought she made a really great astute point about, and this is true for all Pixar movies, but she said, you know, there's like several moments where like, the movie makes me want to cry, but it makes me feel good. Yeah. And there's a point that the movie makes, and I feel like the point that it's making is that the loss that this character has, he realizes where he's actually had that relationship, and the love that he is really actually having is with someone else. So the loss of the father is actually with someone is with someone else. It's, yeah. it's, and I totally get it. And maybe one day, Chris, when you're ready, I know there's a time and a place for those things. When I lost my mom, I could not like Mother's Day cards, forget about it. Like, yeah. I would lose myself in a Hallmark or a CVS like that, like just like picking up a Mother's Day card. It's just like, forget about it.
Yeah.
And there's no need to put yourself through that.
Yeah.
You know, and there are moments where, you know,
I'll tell you though, it was a moment like that. I don't regret having, right. Cause it was actually beautiful in its own way. But I will, as a counterpoint to your one of your first comments about, you know, everyone's sick about being home on leave and everything. I can honestly say, and I'm being very sincere about this, as crazy as it can be with trying to keep kids in, you know, homeschooled, and they just announced yesterday school is done for the year in Massachusetts. So, you know, I don't know if that's everywhere, but, homeschooling a 1 year old dude, my fucking son's gonna be one on Friday.
Really?
Yeah.
God like, damn.
Crazy, right?
10 so, tomorrow. Yeah,
no, that's my awesome. My son's so it's like tomorrow. So it's like, you know, I've got an 8 year old at home that we're trying to manage this whole schooling thing. I've got a 1 year old son to manage, which anybody who's had a kid knows exactly what the fuck that's like. And I've got, granted, we are lucky to for my mom for my own job, right? So my job, I'm still employed, and I've been enabled to work at home, so I'm beyond grateful for that. And my wife is a guidance counselor, so she's been doing a lot of stuff for the school from home too. But the this has been like the best time. Like, I have had experiences at home that I would never have ever gotten were it not for being home. So like, I look at this time as like, fuck, this is amazing. Like, I have been able to spend so much time with my almost 1 year old son. I've had dinner every single night with my family for the last, what, 5-6 weeks. And as someone who works in my industry, that doesn't happen more than 20% of the week. Do I get to stay home and have dinner with my family? And I'm looking at this is like, I need to find a way into to try and find the absolute best out of every one of these scenarios, right?
Yeah.
And because there's a meme that I posted back a few weeks ago about, you know, it was a kid coming or being interviewed at school or something like that. He goes, you know, what was that, you know, yeah, Mike C says the edibles don't hurt either. Mike, not yet. They take a while. There's an interview of a kid saying, what was the pandemic like? And the kid, he goes, well, you don't remember? You're 8 years old. He goes, yeah, the economy really crashed. Everyone was worried. People were losing their jobs. People were getting sick. People died. This, that, and the other. It was the worst of times. And the kid's response in the dialogue is like, well, that's weird. I remember it as being, you know, scavenger hunts in the backyard, dinners at home every night, being able to hang out and play board games in the living room, all this stuff. He goes, that's weird. I don't remember like that. I remember it as the best times of my life. And mm-hmm. I saw that meme and I was like, Jesus Christ, that rings so true for kids. This could be the best or it could be the worst thing for them. So we've just been trying to have it be like the best experience possible. And so far it has been. So I can't think, you know, my situation. Well,
I know Cindy doesn't want to go back to work because we watch our two youngest grandkids. Oh, actually, yeah. My daughter, she's teaching school from here. Actually, she sits right here and teaches her club. So we watch her daughter and our youngest. She goes, I don't know if I can go back to work. Yeah, I don't know if I can go back to work. Because of, you know, she's enjoying the time with the grandkids. And I like it because I'm not having to spend all day with the grandkids, if that makes sense. I mean, I get a break because it's not, and I can talk to humans, you know, I mean, adults, not to humans, but, you know, I love our grandkids, but it's like, you know, 10 hours a day. It's like,
right. Yeah, too much of a good thing. Yeah.
But she's like, I don't know if I can go back to work. I don't know. Because I'm having such a good the connection she's getting with the, you know, because grand, you know, kids are great, you know, your own kids are great, but your grandkids are better because, you know, you spoil them and send them back home.
I mean, it's the same thing for the parents of these kids too. Like, I mean, I know I made jokes about it the last couple of weeks about how difficult it is not having daycare and being able to do this, that, and the other. But you make it work, and like the experiences that we're getting now as parents.
You're still standing. I heard a fall.
Huh?
I heard something fall.
No, I'm good. I'm Cindy thought I passed out.
That was awesome.
I kind of did that earlier today, but luckily I was on it. I kind of saved myself, but she I guess was worried I fell again.
You know, I just thought
I'm,
about
I'm this not thing. Doing it on a live show. I'm not.
Okay, I just thought about this the other day. I thought to myself, boy, I'm glad that I have Cindy's number in my phone. Like I did, I it crossed my mind.
I told her. I said they'll call you if there's a problem.
But yeah, so
he's fine. That's just Jack. Let him sleep.
To cap off that thought, it's just that, you know, these experiences are amazing, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I actually gave my daughter a huge hug today because, you know, we were doing some like art project for her right before bed. And she's so proud of it. It's hanging like she's got these little paper lanterns. You got like a, I don't know if you heard of Kiwi Crate. You ever heard that before? It's actually really cool service. But she made these cool like paper lanterns she's hanging up, and we all made them together. Like, mm-hmm. I would never have fucking been able to do that, you know. So it was just awesome. So
we're
making the best of it.
I will say this: Cindy saw your flower pot thing, the planter thing you were building.
Yeah.
Because,
in what fucking world was I a farmer? Like, in this one, now.
Obviously, hey, you're bringing back flashbacks of Matt there. But she saw that. She goes, you've been asking me for a couple of years to do it. And I said, okay, I'll do it. She goes, well, see, Kristen, just call him up and ask him. I go, it's four pieces of wood. And
Super easy.
I can do that. I go, I wanted to build one that was up. So she didn't have to bend over. But she's like, No, just build it. I go, all right, I'll do that.
Here's the thing. If you build it like an elevated one, don't forget that the higher you build it, the more your money you're going to spend on soil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like for me to fill that one there, it's like $40 in soil to have it delivered. Or but to have it delivered, it's like $50. So I'm paying you $100 to have it soil.
Miami Mike said, Cindy was worried she heard another charger run. I thought he finally knocked you out. Anyway, on that note,
I imagine like Cindy's is like hears them in her sleep, you know, like
oh, she's out because like, I get up
sometimes, Jack, you know, like
I get up sometimes, like, and sometimes I'm dreams. I I'll be wobbly or I'll be kind of fading in and out because that's just what happens.
It's your knee.
I wish it was a knee, but sometimes I'll just lean up against the wall. Like today, she kind of held me. Usually I'm pretty smart. I get up pretty slow, except in the middle of the night where I go to the bathroom. Sometimes I'll fall into whatever's in the way. But, you know, I'm going to start wrapping myself in bubble wrap. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, you know.
Wait. Before you go, I just wanted to, like.
I'm not going anywhere.
Before you pass out again, I just wanted to tag on to what Chris had said, because he said some really beautiful things about hanging out with family.
Well, you're not going to top it.
No, I'm not going to try to top Chris. I'm just
fucking with you.
We went kite flying today. Like, we took our kids to fly kites, and it was just such
all right, Ben Franklin. Nice.
I know, we're in Franklin. So, you know, Chris is in Franklin, I'm in Franklin. And we're out
brothers.
This field, and it was just such an amazing day. It was
anybody else there?
No, exactly. That was it. Like, we picked this great spot where nobody in the city goes to, and we're just out there in the field flying kites and sun's shining.
Were they homemade kites?
No, they're not homemade kites.
Did you guys ever make that as kids? You'd make it from the comic funny papers?
Really just kind of derailing my conversation.
I'm sorry. I just remembered as a kid making kites. But go ahead.
Oh, did you have sex with the kites too? Because, I mean, that's clearly something that you have.
I'm not a farmer.
Uh-huh, sure.
Bring that back.
So how do you have sex with a kite?
Who has sex with a kite?
I don't know, kite fucker. Tell me. I'm trying to tell a beautiful
Matt's
story.
Matt's guns are loaded. He's not fucking around tonight.
All right, finish your kite story, because I don't want to.
We went kite flying today, and then yesterday we went out for a hike because our state parks are not closed. We went for a hike around two lakes. And we saw 56 turtles. It was amazing.
I saw four in your picture. I'm not calling you out, but I saw four.
I didn't take a picture of every single turtle.
I didn't know there were different turtles.
Mitch McConnell was there.
We gutted him like the pig he is. No, we counted. The kids counted all the turtles, and it was a fun. It was just an awesome day. And to just Chris's point, all of this time spent with family is great. And it's a special time to be able to share that.
Do you think your kids are going to have a tough time when he goes back to normal?
Oh yeah.
Well, for right now, it's basically a super long summer break.
I'm just saying, though, because Chris said, he's having dinner every night with his family and all this stuff.
what if
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at the people in the chat.
Franklin the turtle.
Franklin the turtle. Any Lisa Turtles question?
Didn't see any Lisa Turtles. Not some middle age.
William Fry, were there any sheep?
No.
So I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing at Chris's thing, but anyway.
Go ahead and tell your stupid story.
Matt, real quick, I just shared the picture of actually the art project I was referencing.
Oh, yeah. From okay,
tonight.
Sure. I will do that.
You want Matt to judge it?
Oh yeah, I saw that earlier. Yeah.
I'm not judging anything.
So that's cool. That's the paper lanterns that we made tonight, which are kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, very cool.
I'm telling you, man, Doodle Crate, you got kids. Doodle Crate is, or Kiwi Crate, there's a different groups, and there's a subscription service. If you want a link, I'll give you one for $10 off. I'm not going to do that and blast you all with the link. But there's lots of really cool shit in there that the kids have. She's had a blast making this stuff. So let me know if you have any questions.
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting on it's sentimental to me. People know that one of my favorite movies of all time is That Thing You Do. Mm-hmm. Right? So Matt's leaving on that note.
Yeah.
So anyway,
fuck your story, Jack. I'm out of here.
He just fucking threw his hands up. He's like,
fuck it. I'm out of here. Fuck it. And now Chris is leaving.
I'm in solidarity with Matt.
I don't know if Mauser's alive. He didn't fucking move when Matt went by. I think Matt killed him.
You know what's weird about the thing you, every time I think about that thing, I don't think that's of it being that old of a film, but it's almost 25 years old.
It is 25 because they kept set. Well, what they did a YouTube, they did a benefit for for the COVID virus, the coronavirus thing. And they were raising money as they were going along. They also auctioned off a 45, original 45, the first one being printed up for the song That Thing You Do. I said, God, if I had the money, I would have bid on it. But at one point it was, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat, private chat. But I thought it was very interesting. It was pretty fascinating. They raised a lot of money. It was, you learned some stuff about the episode. They had Colin Hanks was on there. What's his name? What's the comedian? He plays the Mattress King guy. What's his name? Why am I drawing a blank on his name? He was in Few Good Men. Anyway, it was fat. I thought if you like That Thing You Do, find it on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's That Thing You Do, and it's pretty interesting to watch. What we did is we watched the movie as they're talking.
So Mike in the chat says Matt taking a crap during a Jack story is That Thing He Does.
Boom, roasted.
I was disappointed that Steve Zahn didn't show up though.
He was there.
What, I mean, for the live performance, was he there?
Not for the live performance. No, yeah. he lives in Kentucky. He has like a 390-acre horse farm.
Oh,
he lives in Kentucky, and it was pretty fascinating. It was good stuff. I mean, That Thing You Do is one of the most perfect movies ever made. It's from start to finish. It doesn't have any parts where you're like, oh, okay, this part's boring. It flows. How have you never seen That Thing You Do? Matt, have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. I mean, it's
okay.
Good.
It's okay. Oh my God.
I give it like a 7. You know.
A 7?
Yeah.
A 7. Oh my God.
Like, it's the most perfect movie in every way. It's so great.
It's okay. I will give props to Tom Hanks that he wrote that, and it's good for someone who's probably never written anything and wrote it.
He said that in something I watched the making of That Thing You Do. He said, my only experience from about screenwriting was reading scripts.
Right.
And it shows. Nick's gradation is like punchline, That Thing You Do, splash.
And one thing you learn about Tom Hanks is they say they were all saying he is, that's who he is, genuine. That's who he is. He's that nice of a guy. I guess they all stood up late one time. He brought him into one of the trailers and said, and he didn't yell, he didn't scream. He basically told him about how important it was to be. He goes, and all of them said, I've never been late to a movie set or TV set ever again.
I wish I could have that effect on my students.
Well, you're not Tom Hanks.
Let me just tell you, I am so fucking over it. Like, I don't like shit on my students that much, but oh my gosh. Like, I have my tolerance and patience level with the fact that they just, half of them don't even fucking read the emails or don't respond to me. And I'm like, seriously, guys.
So you're mad that immature early 20-year-old people are acting like immature early 20-year-old people.
And I can be.
But I think it's a sad excuse. They should. I'll back up Matt on this one, even though he shit on my story and left. I'm back.
No, he shit during your story.
Right. Yeah, during, yeah. Jack, I did wobble. I did this like weird wobble as I left. Journey. So, does that makes you feel any better? But no, I'm just frustrated because I've been very patient. I've been very understanding and kind to a lot of them. A lot of them are going through hardships, and my heart goes out to them. It's the other 25% that I just don't hear anything from, and I'm like, seriously, do you want me to give you an F or an incomplete? Like, I don't want to, but you're gonna force my hand here because you haven't said shit to me. So anyway, salute.
Yeah, the other movie Tom Hanks is gonna be in whenever they start releasing movies again, that one where he's the World War II ship captain.
Yeah,
no, I don't think it's a submarine.
I think it's a submarine.
Destroyer, I think, or something like that.
That was Dust Boats.
Yeah, it's Dust. Yeah, Dust Boats. That Chris has never watched.
What is your problem, Chris?
Dude, I have not had the fucking time to do these things.
You I think
Das Boot has been out for like 40 years.
There's no excuse for Das Boot, but for everything else, yes, I'm home, but between kids, work, family, I have not had time to do things. Like, typically, I would watch like all these shows that I watch. I would watch these movies that I normally watch on my break, you know, at lunch. I would crack through all these episodes of these shows. I have not been able to do that because, and granted, I said before how fantastic this is to be at home with family, but you're on from morning to night when you're at home with family the entire time. Like, I do not have the time to sit down and watch a show and watch a movie. Like, this is a time where I could do that.
I hear you, Chris. I mean, it's weird. It's like we have all of this time.
I have none at all.
And I have none at all. I'm the same way. Like, even running the business that I do, it's just like I'm not there, but I'm answering like all of these like stupid bullshit emails. Well, I'm going to the office to fill one order. I'm coming back home.
You're boring your art students.
I'm not boring the art students. The art students need to like bore me with all of their like needy bullshit, but they don't.
Matt Treese in the chat says, "Sorry, Emma, we're not watching Onward. Das Boot it is."
But
true story of brotherhood.
It's one way of getting it done.
But yeah. I was going to suggest, after watching that thing you do, I said, why don't we, one of these weeks, pick a movie that we watch and we give our commentary during the movie and people could follow along in the chat. I
fucking love that idea.
That would be fun.
Nick's like, meh, it's okay.
No. It's a good idea, but the thing that sucks about this is you have to start exactly at the same time.
Well, but that's what you do. They, what they did on that thing you do is they had a clock going every now and then.
It's alive.
So you would know where it was.
Meowers is alive. Because
they legally couldn't show the movie.
Yeah.
So we can't show the movie, but we can set it up. We can watch. Okay, we're watching. Boom.
I thought they had something.
It could be Star Wars.
I thought they had something with Netflix like that, where like you could do a hangout.
You can
with Netflix.
You can do what do you call it? Like party watches with Netflix.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah,
I'd be happy to
pick a show on Netflix, and
we'll be like it. Be like Mystery Science Theater 3000 with RCAD.
I was bringing Meowsers over just
to prove that he's alive.
Prove that he's alive, and I know that Randy is a big fan of Meowsers. As his many, many fans, he's been sleeping down here. So, So.
Oh, Matt Treese again, very, very helpful in the chat today. It says, Netflix Party Extension is on Google Chrome. So you can actually get the extension for your browser and we can do it right here. So Meowsers just attack you?
No. But he gave me that look like, don't fuck with me.
Cause you had that look like you almost just snapped the neck of your cat.
Yeah, keep fucking with him, Matt. So why don't we put up a poll and let the people pick the movie that we watch that's on Netflix?
Why do we have to poll people? We don't have to poll people for shit.
Look, you've been polling sheep for a long time, so let's do a poll. This movie, okay.
And on that note, bye, Felicia.
It's gonna be something weird, like 13 going on 30 or something.
Yeah, it can't be some crappy movie. Like Miami Mike says,
why not?
I don't think Debbie Does Dallas. It's on Netflix.
It's not on Netflix.
Behind the Green
Definitely
Door.
Definitely not. It's not there. I mean, I think that's a great idea, Jack. We should totally do that. So I did a similar thing back with the Media Junkyard years ago. It was for charity. It was for Autism Speaks, actually, where I lost a bet or I lost a contest of some sort, and I had to do a commentary for Twilight.
I remember that.
Yeah. I think I did that with Steve Glosson. Big Honkin' Steve, for anybody who might remember listening to any of his shows, but like we did that and it was fucking painful, but we raised a ton of money for it for Autism Speaks.
So. Yeah,
it just reminds me just you know how much of a shitty human being I am. It's like when I think of Twilight,
we all knew that.
We just didn't say it to you.
Yeah, exactly. But like you know, you go to Comic Con and what was it 2010 or 11? It was the first Twilight year. You know?
That Comic Con's been canceled.
It has. But I knew nothing about Twilight. You know, you hear all these kids going, "I'm here for the Twilight panel." I'm like, what's Twilight? Like, oh, it's about these vampires, and you know. And I was like, okay, that sounds pretty cool. And they're like, yeah, and like you know, they go out in the daylight and they sparkle. And I'm like, that sounds stupid.
I knew nothing about Twilight either. I remember
just like, what the hell is this shit? I had so many things to talk about, and you guys just keep going on your. I have no idea. There was a new show I wanted to talk about very briefly. It's on Hulu once again. It's called Mrs. America with Kate Blanchett, and it's an interesting show. It's very different. It's based on a true story about the Equal Rights Amendment that was passed in 1970 or 71, and it's from two different angles of women. It's all women. And it's so Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, but it's good though, because like Kate Blanchett is, you know, is representing like middle America in the early 70s, and you know, and then you have episodes about the feminist movement and all these other women who want the Equal Rights Amendment, and it's like kind of similar to today, as in like you have two Americas, you know, and how the feminist movement overlooked this huge segment of America, and they're like, oh, we're just going to get this ratified. It's no big deal. And they actually were arrogant and thinking like, oh, we're going to get this ratified. And then this woman who's played by Kate Blanchett, like sent out all these newsletters and like rallied, like, you know, this means that women are going to be able to be, you know, voted for the draft. This means that, you know, men want to pay alimony, like all these things, you know, and it basically scared the shit out of women. And it's an interesting show. There's only three episodes like right now out, but I liked it.
Alan Alda was a big, he campaigned for it.
You had me at Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, I mean, she is great.
She is a big fan of her. So I kid Nick. I mean, he is the only other person that appears on Owen and Brew's Barbecue.
Yes, true, even though there's three hosts. Speaking of that,
Chris is busy.
Speaking of getting teary-eyed, Chris, the newest episode, there is one scene that you would not think I would get misty-eyed about a freaking cartoon, but I did.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
All the feels in one particular scene. It's a great episode.
Yeah. Are you talking about the most recent one?
Yeah, most recent one, yeah.
Yeah, I have to fit in Clone Wars into whatever.
The seventh season has, you know, Nick and I mean, if you've listened to our own and Brews about it, like, we've been pretty critical about it. And up until episode 9, we've been like, come on, you know, right? Like, I mean, we've liked some of them, but we've been a little bit more kind of like, all right, like, why, what's going on? Like, let's pick up the pace. And this last episode, in one episode, we've been just like, holy fuck. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, you just like, it's like, what did you do? Take cocaine, Dave Filoni?
It's basically,
the Filoni swan song.
It's but yeah, this, I'm already thinking these last four episodes are basically another movie, you know, and yeah. It's probably going to be the best Star Wars movie since Revenge of the Sith. I mean, the way it's shaping up to be, it's the first episode was so good. Cause I mean, just the production of it, all the little Easter eggs, the music that's playing along with it. It's so good.
The fact that it like listens to the other material that's been written.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to catch up.
That's why I can't keep up on my TV shows, because I'm binging Owen and Brew's Barbecue.
Sure.
So, fun fact: I actually tried to get my I snuck in an episode of Rebels while my daughter was getting up to get a snack, and I just put on Rebels to see what would happen.
Yeah.
And she came back, and she's like, "This isn't my show." I'm like,
"A little dictator." Yeah.
Just hang on a second.
Relax.
Give this a shot. Tell me what you think. Oh, this is a Star Wars show. I kind of like her, who's Sabine, obviously, right?
Yeah.
She kind of got into it, yeah. and then at the end of the episode, she's like, you know, no, I don't want to watch it anymore. I'm like, oh, I tried. I almost got her hooked back into it, but not yet.
So Sabine in for Rebels is definitely my favorite character of the show. I don't know why. I just thought Sabine was awesome. I mean, Mandalorians are cool. So
it was like episode 2 or 3 of Rebels. So it was the one where he gets left behind, and then they go back and save him.
Wait, you're just in the very beginning of Rebels?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, okay.
I'm trying to get her into it, but
yeah,
failing miserably.
The one with the Mele Run fruit is one that my kids find to be especially hilarious for some reason. So And I think that's like the third episode. Like they got to get the TIE fighter or something like that. There's a TIE fighter.
Well, I'm going to keep trying. No, so, none of but, left. Otherwise, it's nothing but like, these random ass Netflix shows. She started watching some Investigators. It's like some Australian like sitcom for kids. It's weird.
My daughter's really into the Carmen Sandiego, but that's the thing that she's been.
Until Spanos fucked it up.
Yeah, that's exactly what my daughter's was like. You know, Carmen Sandiego would be so much cooler if the Chargers.
Spanos didn't fuck it up. You fucked everything up.
I'll tell you what show I have.
What's at the stadium? Oh wait, nothing.
I'll tell you what show I have not skimped on, and it's because we've been watching as a family. I know I mentioned a few weeks ago, but like our nightly ritual now after dinner is to watch. An episode of Fuller. No, not Dave.
Fuller House.
So fucking good, though. We watch Fuller House. We watch an episode of Fuller House. And then we watch an episode of Full House. Wow. So we're
How do you just stop at one? Wow.
What's that?
How do you just stop at one?
It's like a
night bedtime for my daughter. That's how we stop. So
because once you get rolling on those episodes.
I know. So it's great. So we're actually.
You got it, dude.
We're in season one of both, right? So my daughter's already binged the entire Fuller House like series, so she knows what's going on. Parenting. Hashtag parenting.
Randy.
No, she actually wears red, but yeah, that's a good call.
So we watch one episode from season one, and we watch one episode of season one of the original series. And I have forgotten how much I fucking love that show. It is so good. Full House is a fantastic show. Go back and rewatch it.
I read something random one day. It was talking about how Uncle Joey like lives, in a closet, basically in the house,
in the alcove.
In the alcove. And if you look, like every episode,
that was me.
Was that you, Chris. The mannequin?
The mannequin's wearing the same outfit as he is in every episode. But he's since moved down to the basement.
Okay.
They finally gave him the basement. That was nice.
They did. Yeah, they redid the basement.
Is that because he hooked up with Aunt Becky? Or
no, that's Uncle Jesse, and that hasn't happened yet.
Who did I say? Who were you talking about?
Joey. We're talking about Joey.
Oh, Joey's the comedian guy.
Dave Coulier. Yeah,
well, actually, they're all cut out.
I fucking love that show. So tonight's episode was kind of surreal, right? So it was
Is there a problem in the house and they all solve it at the end?
Exactly. So okay, tonight's episode was when Stephanie gets chicken pox.
Oh, I love that one.
And my daughter's like, what? My daughter's like, what the hell is chicken pox? And we had to explain to her this now like eradicated disease of chicken pox, because it was like a big thing when we were kids.
That's something else that blew my mind too. My sister had her kids. It was like, wait, they're getting around 5-6 years old now. They're getting chicken pox. Like, no, they don't do that anymore. I'm like, they get it.
That's what vaccines are for, people.
Yeah. There used to be fucking chicken pox parties.
Yeah.
Where parents would bring kids to a kid's house who has it to expose them to get it over with.
That's what happened with my kids, because some lady came into my business. Her kids had chicken pox. She goes, your kids have already had it. I go, no. And she goes, oh, and then they all boom, 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 got it. It was like pain in the ass. Because chicken pox, kids that don't know about it, you scratch, you itch. It's a nightmare.
It's awful. Yeah. I remember like being stuck at home for like, it seemed like 10 days or 2 weeks, not being able to go to school. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If you've had chicken pox, bonus, you get shingles.
Not always, but yeah.
Well, not always, but there's a good chance.
So I got that going for me.
So check this out.
When my daughter was watching
Fuller House?
Maybe.
Maybe, but I'm just telling you, it is painful.
My daughter was like 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. She got, you guys ever heard of hand, foot, mouth disease?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So my daughter got,
kids.
Yeah. So my daughter got hand, foot, mouth, went from her daycare back like when she was like 2 or 3 years old. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I found this out after the fact, is that many of us have gotten it, but we were kids when we got it. Because when you're a kid, the symptoms can be mistaken for chicken pox, or they can be mistaken for like hives or whatever, because it's not nearly as severe. apparently I never had it as a kid. So when my daughter got it, she gave it to me, and it is fucking terrible. Like, I had sores all over my hands, all over my sides, down my legs, like from my hip down to my toe. I had all these crazy like welts and sores. It was the most horrific thing that I've had to go through in my, like, physically in my, you know, in my 30s, if you will. I can still say that for a few more weeks. But it was, and just your balls. No, they weren't on my balls, but it was bad. Like, she had it. She had, like, you know, mild symptoms that she was fine. Shaft? What the fuck? Nope, not in the shaft either. So she had mild symptoms, and meanwhile, I'm sitting here with, like, you know, a man just.
Who is this Ramblecast that keeps saying these naughty things?
Yeah. So meanwhile, I'm near having a man cold, you know, for like 2 weeks, and it was the worst. So, yeah, but I'll never get it.
Usually, we save this stuff for the private chat, people. This is on par with what is in the private chat.
Oh my god!
If anybody wants to know,
that's all public.
If anyone wants to know what we say for the private chat, this is about the.
This is a good preview. It's a good preview. What we say,
and don't blame Jack for laughing, because you can see sometimes it's funny. I mean, I know some people don't like it when I laugh at the chat, but
you can go to our YouTube and check the tape.
Just subscribe, and you can be part of this. You can watch us live.
Endless, every Wednesday night now.
So this is a roundabout.
I can do Tuesday night next week.
This is my family's new ritual, is to watch Full House and Fuller House, and apparently change the conversation into balls, shaft, and just a tip. But
you got it, dude. You got
it. How rude. Anyways, all right, guys. I actually do have to get going. I apologize. I have a very early start tomorrow morning, so I'm going to take off. But
before you go, can you record next Tuesday night?
Like
9:30, 9:45.
I mean, just calendar. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking at a calendar.
We were doing Wednesday nights. What's going on?
Well, I'm gonna skip a week of the Lost rewatch for people to catch up, and I just said
Tuesday looks good for me.
That way, I don't do back to back.
But we were avoiding Tuesday because of the broadcast.
Oh right.
That's why we're doing Wednesday.
Well, I'll let you all figure it out. Every night.
Well, they're not doing it live, right?
I don't know what they're.
As long as they're not doing live, it doesn't matter, right? Matt, you're the producer. You take fucking charge. All right. You say fuck it. We're recording on. It doesn't matter. We're recording Tuesday night.
You're the executive producer.
I'm not anything. You talk to Kyle. I'm nothing.
Hey,
I'm nothing.
As Mike C says, cut it out. That's a Dave Coulier reference. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
All right, Chris, thank you. Thanks for joining us. Don't crush your wife, Chris, during sex. Boom. You're roasted. Yeah.
Boom. You're roasted.
You're roasted. Good night, everybody. It's good to see you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye.
Well, show's over.
Finally got my own spot.
Yeah, you do. You're on the bottom. So, anything else you guys are watching?
See my Dharma van?
I mean, I know Nick is pretty quiet through most of this episode.
Well, you guys have had so many good conversations. I'm just like, oh, well, I can talk now, but it's like, eh.
Oh, like all of our great socialist programs that we proposed?
Did you?
No. I'm just ribbing you, man.
My neck and my back. I'm trying to think of anything up. I mean, I said Mrs. America, which is the only new show I've watched, which I do recommend. It was good. And then
I want to watch that. I haven't watched that HBO show yet. The one with
Fly Against America.
I got to watch that.
That one is interesting. I know some people like it. Me just being a history major, I had a big. Just issues with it because it's historical fiction, and I know there's, you know, there's a certain point where you should realize this is not true. None of this is going on.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't.
Yeah, and it's just like a lot of it's to me it was just kind of depressing because it's basically they're taking today's political times and trying to put it in 1940. And it works in some ways it doesn't. And I mean, it's good. It's well acted. I mean, the actors in it are phenomenal, but like, I have problems with any historical fiction. It doesn't matter what it is, just because I don't like people. It's like Tora, Tora, Tora. I have issues with that. It's a great movie, but it's like, there's so many people that believe that they actually said, like, I fear all we've done is, you know, awaken a tiger, you know, it's like, or awaken a sleeping giant. You know, it's like that. They just put that in there for a positive spin on a film. You know,
from a Tora, 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 it's too long.
It is long.
It takes too long to get to the bombing.
Well, what about that Nazi show you guys love?
Man in the High Castle? Well, it's sci-fi.
No, I know. It's Philip K. Dick. I can watch
anything. But I was thinking the same thing when he was talking about it. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I bet you like anything Philip K. Dick did, though. I mean, Minority Report and
actually,
you probably like the sheep dream, you know, or whatever.
No, they have nightmares. No, I like my favorite movie, but instead of Tora, Tora, Tora is Midway.
I mean, they're both good.
I haven't seen the new Midway, but William Fry finally started Downton Abbey. Congratulations.
I mean, yeah, I never finished Downton Abbey, which is weird because I was moving to LA right at the time that last season aired. I think I missed like the last three episodes of the season. I never watched the movie either. But I mean, basically when that one character is, you know, no longer on the show, to me, it went downhill after that. Because
we won't tell you who that is,
William. Yeah. Because, I mean, it just became all this whole, I mean, even though it's a soap opera basically and gossipy crap, it's just like, I don't care. I don't care that much about the butler and his issues. not the main butler, but the footman. You know, it's like, I don't care.
But they did have issues. I mean, it was built on class and all that different stuff. And
yeah, that's true. And then the writer of that has another show out right now. I haven't started it. I don't know if it's good or not though.
The one show that I've been watching.
Cindy's been watching. She's two episodes into it. It's Sherry would. I don't know if Sherry's still in the chat. She would know. It's called
Yes, it's a long word. Yeah.
I've seen part of it, but she watches it without me, so I've seen some of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. It's all about classism. You know,
it's definitely got it's Downton Abbey because it has almost similar music.
Oh yeah, Randy brings up a good point about Better Call Saul. This season is. I mean, every season's good. You know, this one to me, it felt like a segue between one season to the next. Like it's kind of like, oh, okay, but.
I'm two seasons behind.
Yeah, I have to get caught up with Better Call Saul.
Because they just had the fifth season, right?
I think this was the fifth season.
I need to watch the fourth and fifth. I mean, I love Better Call Saul. I'm binging Owen and Beru. Like, I don't have time for anything.
Sure. The two shows that I'm trying to get caught up to or that I'll watch is Better Call Saul and Ozark. But right now, because I have CBS, I decided that I wanted to go through Star Trek Discovery. And so I've been watching season one of Star Trek Discovery. It's kind of been one of my nightly shows. And have you seen it, Nick?
No. I mean, no. I never was a Star Trek person. I mean, I know enough about it, but I never watched it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some episodes where I could just kind of be like, okay, this is on in the background and whatever, but as it's been progressing, and at least for the listeners that have watched Star Trek Discovery, the first season, as it's been progressing towards the end, and I can at least explain this much for Jack and Nick, who are familiar with it, when they get to the mirror storyline, that's when it piqued my interest, where I was like, oh, we're going here. This is cool. So... and that has got me, you know, really like, I mean, it really kind of hooked me because before that, until we got to that point, I was kind of like, okay, like the first three episodes, you know, I was learning who the characters were. I was getting familiar with this world. And you know, going, you know, I've heard great things about season two, so I would like to kind of get through the first season so I can finish season two. And I know that I don't need to finish Star Trek Discovery to get to Picard, but ultimately, like, I want to watch Picard while I have the CBS. So,
it is funny just because you said like getting to a certain episode before you're hooked on it. It's funny to me how some series are that way because, Like I think Jack has said that about Lost or Jay, you know, like, you know, if the pilot didn't hook you, if you got all the way to Walkabout and you still weren't into the show, then just give up.
Yeah.
Cause, I still remember like the first episode I watched was The Numbers, because I, like a lot of people, was late to the show and I was like, oh, this is interesting. You know, like I liked that episode. It was Jorge's first centric episode. And then my sister let me borrow season one when it came out on DVD. And so then I binge watched season one and then started with season two. But I was like, it was a show I definitely wanted to watch.
Well, The Wire was a show, I think it was the fourth episode, because my wife gave up on it. And I think it was the fourth episode before I go, all right, this is really good. Because the first three episodes, I'm like, going, okay, this is good. But it's like, this is not the great show everyone says it is. But then it really, I don't know, something clicked. And I said, oh, my God, I love this show. And my wife said, I'm not going to go back and watch it. She didn't say it like that. But, yeah, she did.
I know that we could probably chat and usually Nick and Jack and I, like we end up talking for like another 20 minutes after the show ends.
True.
Like we did last week. and usually that's, you know, it's kind of, we did it in reverse, because usually that's when we talk a little bit more politics and we're kind of a little bit more kind of off the cuff.
Chris had a pickle up his ass, so.
As opposed to the way that we
started. We had bumps, right?
As opposed to the way that we started this episode. Well, you know, you guys were talking before I could even come on, because I again, this episode started with me just getting back from the grocery store. And I'm a bit of a hypochondriac, so before I could even, like, podcast, like, I wanted to take a shower. Like, it's just what I do. You know, it's like
I do when I come back. If I go out, I take a scorching shower anyway.
I get it. You probably were feeling a little dirty after coming back from the farm. So it makes
sense. No, it's the fucking a-hole who's in the liquor aisle that decides to just give the like a and I'm like, I don't know what you just did, but I'm out of here. Okay. I grabbed my gin. I grabbed my
But you still grabbed your gin. That was the.
Well, he was at least, there was a couple dividers in between us. So I felt like the cloud of whatever.
Do they have the arrows going, telling which direction to go? Because a lot of stores are doing that now where they have the arrows.
No, there were no arrows.
Really?
They do have the plastic partition. And when I went to check out, like I usually go to the self-checkout because I feel like, okay, I'm in charge of my stuff. I don't have to interact with anybody. However, there was a guy that was like free and available, and he was probably your age, Jack, you know, in his 50s, and he was wearing a mask. I'm wearing a mask. I feel like, okay, I will go through your line because at least you're taking this precaution. The other fuckheads aren't. Whatever, like, do your own thing.
Because there's some people don't obey the arrows, because like Target has the arrows, and some people you're looking at, you're like going, it's like when the person drives the wrong way in the parking lot, you're like going,
right,
and you have to move over because they're going the wrong fucking way. You're like going, the fuck, man? What the fuck? There's some people you target, you look and you go, I give them, because all they can see is my eyes because I have the mask. And I'm just like,
oh, right. Yeah, my
dumbass.
The checkout guy was like wanting to have a conversation with me. And it's like, we're both between two masks. There's a piece of plexiglass. And it's like, I can't talk to you about brats and how to use mustard properly, but okay, fine. You know, like let's talk about mustard. So
yeah, Miami Mike mentioned Russ was in the liquor aisle. Russ had that nervous. he would do that like every two or three. You know, you remember? In fact, at one point I said, Russ, when you do that, can you get away from the phone? Because it's so. Can you imagine Russ during this time?
Oh my gosh!
And Russ was I'm gonna be nice about this. He was kind of clueless about some social things. He probably was walking around these stores. You know, you give him Randy, you have to give him the day.
Exactly, except with a mask on, like the smile or the smirk doesn't really come through. It
you have to look with the eyes. I'm not a Tom Hanks actor. I can't.
What I don't understand with a mask, okay, and I'm all for people wearing masks. Protect me from you. I protect you from me. Whatever, you know, like we're all in this together. Let's get through it. You know. However, I've seen people wearing the mask while they drive. And I'm like, is there a random cloud of coronavirus you think you're going to pass?
No, I think
you forget.
Yeah, well, no, I do that because, like, once I'm leaving the house, if I put it on. It's just staying on. So that's that's what I drive with it on, even though it's silly to do that.
Okay.
It's because I don't want to touch my face once I leave the house because I know I've touched handles, I've touched all these other things, so I'm just going to leave it on. So that's me.
I did it the other day forgetting it because I went to PetSmart to get something, and I had the mask on, and then my wife and I are driving, and I get, the hell do I still have my mask on for? But I took it off, and then I had to put it back on to go inside Target.
My brother-in-law witnessed a true dumbass moment. This woman coming out of Walmart, not wearing a mask, gets into her car, puts a mask on. Right. I don't know how much more like dumbass you can get, but it's like, who are you putting the mask on for? The people you're driving home to say like, oh, I wore the mask the whole time. I'm safe.
That's what I'm saying. It's just a facade. Like, oh, yeah.
M. Jesse said, but who really looks at the floor? You really can't. I mean, it's Target. They have like arrows every like 3 feet. You can't help but see them down the aisle. I mean, you probably not. I'm not looking down like this, but I can see them ahead of me. So you see the arrows. It's like when someone, you know, they have them have markers stand here. They have like little stickers with Target say stand here. You know, you should. And then you look at someone that's not standing there. You're looking at them.
Oh.
You're invading my space.
You know, the one thing every time I go and it's on our list and for whatever reason, like I could never get it. It's so weird because I found flour today and flour's been out for a while. but I found,
just the way I heard it versus like, I get what you're saying. Like flour's been out of stock for a while, but I heard it like flour's been out as in like, it just came out. Like, you know, like, that's the way I heard it. Like, flour's been out for a while. Like, oh, it has? Like, it's a software update. Like,
yeah, no! Did you get flour 2.0? I got flour 3.0. No,
I have an AOL.
Is the Mr. Bubbles, like bath bubbles. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of a popular thing in our house, you know, like put a little bit of bath bubbles in there. We like the Mr. Bubbles. And
do you like Mr. Bubbles?
I will use the Mr. Bubbles occasionally. As long as I have Epsom salts in my bath, that's what I'm all about.
Put on some jazz, some candles lit.
Exactly. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Last time I took a bath was in Las Vegas. Cindy and I went, after my dad died, we went to Vegas. And the water temperature was like 120 degrees. It was a jacuzzi bathtub. And it was overlooking this strip. It was a nice hotel. I was in there so long and she was bringing me drinks cause it was my birthday. I literally passed out in the bathtub because it was so hot. So she basically, you know, almost killed me. On my birthday. But that was the last time I took a bath.
There's a movie or a TV show where someone did that. Like they were famous for doing that, like drinking or getting high in the tub with bath salts and all that. And so what his roommate would do is he made this contraption to where like basically there was a rope tied to the back of his head. So like when he passed out from the tub, he wouldn't drown.
Miami Mike points out Michael Jackson loved bubble bath too.
Oh, low blow.
No, not that kind. So anyway, you
see where Tyson Chicken is closing down.
Really?
Because of the virus.
Hmm.
Right. It's not all of them. It's just the one in, I think, in Georgia or somewhere. It's somewhere in the deep south. Yeah, because they had like 90.
It's in Arkansas, isn't it?
Oh, well, there's a bunch of them. Because like, there's Tyson in my hometown. And the one in Arkansas and the one in Northwest Tennessee is responsible for all of the chicken nuggets made for McDonald's. And as well as other chicken, but like there's multiple ones all over the country.
Okay. I thought Mike Tyson just liked pigeons.
But I think it's the one in Georgia or South Carolina.
It's like a challenge. I'm Mike fucking Tyson. Yeah. Stop fucking picking. I will kick your ass. I will kill you. I'm Mike fucking Tyson.
I wasn't even going with the impersonation, but
fuck you. Fuck you. I'm Mike fucking Tyson.
You did. There was a documentary that came out about him not too long ago, a few years ago, that was really good, though, about how he never had any family. You know, and his first manager or ringside coach, I can't remember which one it was like a father to him.
Yeah.
And he died roughly around 89 or 90. And that's when he started losing his shit. You know,
yeah. Oh, right.
It's just because like
he lost that figure, that father figure, yeah.
The father figure, yeah. And yeah. That was basically where it all just started going downhill for him.
I think that too, and people, you know, people are taking advantage of him with the money, and you know, but yeah, it is what it is. But we watched Cindy and I watched something on George Foreman, basically his career, and at his peak, he retired.
Yeah,
and then when he comes back, and how much money he was an angry. I mean, people didn't like it. He was an asshole when he was in his 20s, and then but he had issues growing up too.
Well, he really affected Michael Scott with the injury.
Yeah, it did. Oh, I'm real quick. I'm on episode. Where Will Ferrell comes to take over for Michael Scott.
Okay,
but we should say at our poll the show that won was The Dinner Party, right?
Yeah, Dinner Party won. Not my favorite episode.
Colleen was highly lobbying for
Dinner Party. She was very like.
I almost changed my vote because I voted for Dinner Party. But Dinner Party is really good.
Dinner Party is very good. But like I was saying, like to me, like when one of the hosts, you know, it starts heavily lobbying, to me, it's almost unfair.
Yeah,
but I did lobby for the injury.
I like the injury. Yeah, I mean it's hard to choose one. You know, the thing is like the openers. I think you could almost have a separate one for just the openers.
The
cold openings, like there's some really like funny ones, and like my wife and I always talk about like let's just watch the cold open.
Well, if you go on YouTube, they have the funniest cold. They will have like all the cold openings or a lot of the funny ones. It's like when Jim comes dressed as Dwight.
Oh right, yeah. No,
it's just some of them are just so funny. It's just
or when Jim has the Asian man like as him.
Yeah.
That is like a really good one. But personally, for me, like I really do love the final, and I love the fact that Jim is Dwight's best man, and then he brings in Michael. Like that part to me is so sweet. It's so like endearing to me.
Well, Michael changed because he. What's her name? The girl.
Oh, Holly.
Holly.
Yeah.
And I still like Aaron going, I don't get it.
Yeah. No, I love Aaron. Yeah. It's weird. Okay. So for me, like as you're going into the last couple seasons, I really feel like season 8 is better than season 9 because what they do to Andy's character and some of the other characters, like it really shifts it. And there's some things that, you know, you and I have argued about, Jack, you know, the whole Jim and Pam argument, although I do feel like the reconciliation of Jim and Pam, like, makes it worth the while. It's like, you have to
You don't want to see Mom and Dad fight.
I get it, but you got
to You know what happens, but, you know, here's why.
You have to go through hell to get to heaven, and it makes the reconciliation all the sweeter.
But you know what, but when Pam wanted to do her art thing.
Mm-hmm.
Who supported her? Without any hesitation, without any question, who supported her?
Yes and no.
So Jim has a chance for his dream job. Who's not really supported?
But okay, no. Okay, here's the thing though. Jim did support Pam because she 100%. Was away. When she was away at art school, she was supporting her. I'm just like the art show he didn't show up for. Michael showed up for.
Well, he was dating. What's her name?
Right, and when Michael
Adams. What's her name?
But when Michael shows up, he shows up for the art school. But also, when he roasts her, he's like, "Pam, you quit art school, or you failed art school." Boom, roasted.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah. I'm just like I still say Jim supported her through art school. So
no, but I'm not. I am saying that he did support her.
Okay,
I'm saying Jim supported Pam and her dream.
Right.
But when Jim had his dream, not as supportive.
Yeah, but like they also.
They also had
kids at that time, though. And that's a whole other.
I get it, but you know, if you're going to.
I hate
to throw it in your face, but I supported your dream. It's a give and take. Life is a give and take.
You go through hell to get to heaven.
So you're defending Pam. I'm blaming Pam.
What
do the people in the chat say? What do you say, Nick?
I think Jim and Pam are actually a bad couple.
Of course you would say that.
She should have picked Roy.
Roy was a jerk.
Roy didn't even use fabric softener. What are you talking about?
Roy on his first date with Pam left her at a hockey game.
Roy sucks.
I don't know. I don't really have much opinion on The Office.
I thought they were the perfect couple.
They're great. I love it.
Because the acting of the two actors is amazing. I mean, really believe that they're a couple.
I will just say that the last few episodes of season 9 are some of the best. I love some of those episodes, though, like, and I'm saying like the last 3 of season 9. But other than that, season 8 is the stronger season of the post Michael is gone seasons.
Yeah. So. Speaking of that, I don't know if you guys read that article or not. I saw it pop up on my Facebook where it was talking about that, how actually Steve Carell, the actor, wanted to stay on the show.
Yeah. But they let him go.
The network, probably didn't want to pay his fee. And so they never renewed his contract. And
which is crazy because he's
a mistake.
Now, what are you about Andy's character? You didn't like Andy's character, what?
I just didn't like what they did with Andy's character in season 9. They changed his character. Like, they made him more likable and lovable in season 8, and you sympathized with him. By season 9, he's more of a villain.
Well, but Andy, if you look at Andy's from the day one, he is all over the place.
Oh, he
and,
is.
And it's because of his upbringing. You see, he almost has the same upbringing as because Michael Scott had a terrible childhood. He was picked on. He was bullied. His mom wasn't very, wasn't that supportive. You know, his dad wasn't in the picture, I guess. But the same thing with Andy is they catered to his brother, who was Josh, what's a singer?
Oh, I thought it was Bublé. But maybe
what's that singer? Grabin. Anyway, they loved him and they didn't love Andy.
P. Grabin.
So I think that's where Andy's care. I think it's almost true to the because that's he just is all over the place.
Yeah.
I love The Office. John Krasinski is a serious actor now. You can see it in the show where he throws a snowball at Dwight.
Yeah.
And starts it, and then Dwight Dwight war.
Just too far.
And his fear and the acting that's involved. It's like a complete. It's not funny, Jim.
Yeah.
It's terrified, Jim, and it's.
You need to check out the Office Ladies podcast.
I just joined their Facebook. I had to answer some questions, but I was just approved on their Facebook group. So I will. I'm gonna.
How did you answer? I didn't have to answer questions. I just like asked to join, and then I got in.
You were early on.
It must have been early on because now they ask you have to answer what's your favorite episode.
Really? Huh.
I had to do that. Josh Groban.
Josh Grabin. That's what I thought.
Not Grabin.
Anyway, you should listen to the most recent episode, though. I know that you could go in order, but the most recent episode of the podcast, they talk about the episode where it's Michael's birthday and how Steve Carell is an ice skater and he used to play pickup games of hockey.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm listening to them talk about it, I'm like, man, this is reminding me of Jack.
Well, if you see him, if you watch him skate, you can tell because you can always tell someone who can't skate and someone who can skate. And he does that I just watched Threat Level Midnight.
Yes. And they talked about that in that episode.
He's a good skater.
Yeah.
I don't think it's him taking those slap shots, but
I don't know. I mean, they didn't talk about the slap shot thing, but they haven't gotten to Threat Level Midnight. But they did mention in this most recent episode is that his ice skating ability comes back in Threat Level Midnight.
He's Canadian, isn't he? Isn't he from Canada? That's not mandatory you could skate because I know Illyrio wasn't a great skater. So not to pick on you. I know you're not listening to Illyrio, but
he's French Canadian though.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he was just starting to learn. When I met him, he was just learning how to skate or something like that.
You could make poutine though.
Yeah.
I was trying to avoid us from going to another 2-hour episode, but that's what we do in quarantine corona.
Oh, and no one in the chat has an opinion on Pam and Jim?
No, they
screw,
don't.
Screw you.
I think we've lost a listener. They're like, they're talking about The Office way too much. I love Parks and Rec.
Spoilers.
Spoilers. So anyway, if you're like me, and
is it 12 o'clock?
It's just about, yeah, it's 12 o'clock. And
God, I gotta get up in 6 hours. I'm not like Chris.
it's my son's birthday officially. So,
well, happy birthday. Your son's 10, man. That's
10. Cool. Yeah. A decade. So,
wow.
It was about this time. Of
so did you have your kids late in life? Cause you're what? 48, 49.
Fuck you. Screw you and your stupid ages. No, I 10 years ago, I was in my studio down here in the basement watching Lost season 6. And it was season 6 at the time. I remember that aspect was on. I'm almost positive about that. But anyway, I'm down in the basement. I'm working on a show for a painting show that I was going to have. And I'm working. My wife comes down, and you know, it's kind of odd for her to come down at midnight, you know, or like 11:30 or whatever. And she comes down and she's like, "I don't want you to worry, but I'm in labor right now." and I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "I'm okay. We don't have to go right now, but
yeah. I'm like 10 minutes apart. I'm good.
Just wanted to let you know." And so I was like,
"So whenever you're done."
Yeah. And so I was like, "Okay, she's being really cool about this. I'll just get back to painting." And so I like try to start to paint and I'm like,
"Are you serious?"
Yeah. Yeah. I started to try to paint and I'm like, the more like I paint, the more I'm like, "Wait, what?" I can't focus at all. So I go upstairs and there's my wife in the dark, like maybe dimly lit lights, right? Like, you know, and she's just doing some like deep yoga trance. And I'm like,
Where's your daughter at this point?
My daughter's asleep. She's in her bed asleep, you know, like,
so. Did you take her with you or someone have to come over and watch?
We did. We had a relative, an uncle came down, picked her up and took her cousin's house basically for the morning. But he came down at like in the morning at like 6 a.m. or what have you. But so I go upstairs, so that it's dark in the living room. She's in this like deep meditative yoga trance. And I'm just like, okay. Like clearly, like I cannot do anything right now. I'm just going to like, maybe I'll just go take a nap. Like I didn't know what to do at that point. I was just so flummoxed. I couldn't.
And this was your second child, not your first.
First, second, yeah. And
does she know transcendental meditation, or
she was in a kind of a trance-like state, and she. She did yoga for a very long time until her water broke, at which point things got serious.
Mm-hmm.
And
because then you had to clean up the floor.
It was more about like the contractions got more serious. Yeah, I cleaned up the floor or whatever, but the contractions got more serious, and she was like,
"Was it like Pam that you wanted to you the later you went so you had more time in the hospital?"
It was kind of like that. Yeah, like she was kind of like, you know, "Oh, I'm okay. Like I can do this." And so at some point, okay, so you know, my brother-in-law comes down, picks up Maggie, my daughter, and I'm like, "Okay, like let's go," you know, and so we, you know, I drive her to the hospital, and by the time we get there, it's about 6:45, almost 7 a.m. And they're basically like, you know, she's thinking that this is just going to be like her first labor, and so she's like, "Okay, I'm ready for the epidural," and the doctor's like, "There's no time for that. You're fully dilated. You're ready to go. Like it's go time."
Bum, bum, ba, bum.
Yeah. And so it was just kind of like, she was like, "Wait, no, what? I want to have the epidural."
no epidural.
This is your fault, Matt.
For M. Jesse in the chat, how many hours later? It was probably about 7 hours because my son was born about 7:20. And so, and I don't remember what time she came down to tell me, but it was somewhere around midnight. So you could almost call it threat level.
Well, she shouldn't be interrupting Lost.
Threat level midnight. Yeah.
I wasn't watching Lost at the time, but I remember Lost was in the background of like what was on my mind because I was thinking about Lost, probably listening to a Jan Jack podcast. So
I'm always amazed though, like with women and labor, like the differences between what is pain and what is not pain. You know, because like some people, as soon as they're like, oh my God, I'm in labor, we gotta go right now. Like, blah, 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 you know, and then like Diana, like, mm-hmm. you know, the woman I've been seeing for a while, you know, she has one child, a daughter, and she was, never flipped.
Yeah.
And when she went to labor, she was planning on just having it at her home. Mm-hmm. Like the baby just in home in the tub or whatever. And then like they realized that something was wrong. And she's like, I'm not driving into town. Fuck it. Let's just do it. And like, you know, her husband at the time was like, no, we should probably go to the hospital. You know, and just like what am I? Not weak. You know, it's just like, geez, like, you know, this is actually something that you could die from, you know, if it's something goes wrong. You know, if it's like, and then, I mean, just like some people are just so, like you're saying, like she's in a meditative state. It's like, okay, that's fine. This is my second one. I know what the how it goes, mm-hmm. you know. Whereas then, like my sister would have, like the minute you know, like something happens, it's like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah, it was. She wanted to have him on Earth Day, so she was really trying to go into labor on Earth Day, and you know, just
you want to share the birthday with Earth.
So, I think she just thought it
get overshadowed a lot. I mean, I.
Yeah, I know. So, but anyway.
It's like my daughter when she had my granddaughter. So she had her on the 9th. I said, you couldn't just wait 2 more days.
I just realized the Earth is 50 years old today. Isn't that crazy?
50 years old today, yes.
50 years old.
Earth. Way to go. Yeah.
Good job, Earth. Keep up the good work.
Yeah. I mean, he's just a little bit older than Matt. So.
Yeah.
Keep it clean, Earth. My son, Nick, would appreciate this. I bought him the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
It is the, and there's been a lot of Lego Millennium Falcons,
mm-hmm.
but this is the one from Solo. So it has the extra little escape pod.
Mm.
I'm like, might as well get the escape pod.
That to me is one of the most disappointing things though, from the movie Solo is that like they put in that little extra thing, you know, and it's like, I really wanted to know, you know, what it was. And then like, you just see it for half a second. It's like, oh, we need to jettison it off. You're like, that's it? Really? Like, I mean, you couldn't have been
like, did they know they were going to piss you off?
Yeah.
I loved Solo, but,
I'm not saying I hated the movie. I'm just saying like, I wanted more. I wanted to know why that little extra.
I want the whole world.
I want it now.
I want it now.
A couple things. He has
bad egg.
He has picked out Spider-Man Far From Home as his birthday movie that we are to watch. So,
yeah.
He really likes the Spider-Man movies.
The first time I saw Far From Home, I thought it was good. The second time I watched it, I didn't think it was as good because I don't like it. It's the same as like it was with Iron Man 3. Is mm-hmm. that, you know, the Mandarin in the first, half hour of that movie is so good. And then when they pull the rug out from you underneath you, you're like, oh, it's not as good. And that's the same thing as with Far From Home, is that once you realize it's all just an illusion, you're like, oh. Right. And
I like the Spider-Man episode Home Alone.
I know you're not a big Spider-Man fan. He's been in a big Avengers kick lately. So he's been.
We've been watching
different Spider-Man movies.
I'm not criticizing. I'm not a fan.
Recently watched Captain America's Winter Soldier.
Which is excellent.
I love all the Captain America movies.
Captain America is my favorite.
Yeah, so I mean, one of our inside jokes is on your left. You know, I mean, that's like a big joke. So, like, if we're out on bike rides or what have you, and we're, you know, it's like I'll zoom up next to him. I'm always like on your left, you know,
on your left.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's the movie that we're going to watch. I was kind of surprised he picked that movie, but I think he wants to subject his sister to it.
Because she has to watch it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, because it's his birthday and he's keen for a day.
Well, I mean, to me, Far From Home, the things that work in it are not actually the villain storyline. It's the MJ and the student storyline.
Yeah, like
that to me is what's good.
Michael Jordan's in it.
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Yeah. How did you not know that? Yeah, Michael Jordan.
I didn't know. I just thought he was in Space Jam. But, well, the fuck do I know?
All right. Before this episode goes way into like this, like beyond 2 hours.
Hey, did I mention how hungry I am? And then Mike posts 4 Jack in a Box tacos. I'm like going, I'm starving here. And I go, I see Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
That does sound really good right now.
Say, like, I know that Fort Collins is getting an in and out at some point, and just waiting for a Jack in the Box.
It's true, in and out, Jack in the Box.
I'm not a big in and out fan, but I'm just saying it's nice when we get stuff.
You know what's nice when you get stuff is when you go to Amazon.com/JanJack, and you're like,
Do they have tacos? Are they deep fried?
I need to get that old school Star Wars Clone Wars, the Clone Wars that existed before the Clone Wars. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't think anyone's saying that.
You can get them. Like, I think they're fairly cheap on DVD. I mean, they only came out on DVD.
They are not cheap on DVD. Actually, if you go to Amazon.com/JanJack, those early versions, the 2D.
The volume one, volume two.
Volume two is more expensive. I actually got it cheaper on eBay.
Before this show goes on too long, and then you have 45 minutes for this Amazon. Yeah. But go ahead.
I love those original ones. I'm so glad I have them.
Bruce conversation for future is Nick and I talking about it. But I have
Spoil me because I'm binging.
Well, these are no longer canon. Yeah. But they're the ones that came out before episode three. But the thing is about them is that the first volume is. Because like the way that the new Clone Wars series, it starts like mid-war. So to me, you need to watch the first of this original series to kind of get like, oh, Anakin's still a Padawan at this point before he becomes a Jedi Knight, and then start with a new series. And then almost finish up with the second volume at the very end. It's a good, I mean, I still consider it canon. I really like
the original. I like how it finishes up.
Hold on a second. What point did Nick say he liked something? In the show, it was 2 hours and 5 minutes.
You're correct, Will Fry. Volume two is twice as much as volume one. Unless you go to eBay, you can find it a little bit cheaper on eBay. Not to promote eBay, but hey, whatever. You can buy it directly from Chris.
I'm shocked that. I mean, like, volume two is probably the more important one because it finishes up the story, but
and it gets right up to the very beginning.
Episode three. Yeah, exactly. But I also like volume one though too, because it introduces you to Asajj Ventress and like how she was recruited by Dooku, and you see the first fight between
Dooku.
Ventress. Yeah, between Ventress and Anakin. And so I think it's a great series.
Miami Mike points out you can also get kites on Amazon.
That is true.
That's probably true.
So with that, you could also go to just janjack.com. You could click on the Patreon link, become a
patron. If you click on that, can you get Clone Volume 3 or whatever
it is? Well, you can just help us out, us poor, lonely podcasters that are just trying to eke out a living on this network here. You know, and basically Jack takes all of our money, but it's late.
Yeah, I'm cashing in, that's for sure.
But you know, we really appreciate all the patrons that make this show possible. I appreciate everybody in the chat that came. Will Frost.
Yeah. Stay.
M Jesse 99S. Nicholas Dunn.
I don't like that guy.
Thanks for joining us. Chris, did I already mention Chris Doran? Doran. I hope I'm not murdering your name. Matt Triest. Sherry was here earlier. Matt Krieb, the other Matt.
Too many fucking Matts.
You're right. So,
right? I mean, that's like.
And did I already mention Mike C? Because Mike and I go way back. He is Miami Mike to me, and always will be.
He'll always be Miami Mike to me.
He will always be Miami Mike. To me. Of all the patrons, though, that make this show possible, I want to thank the Terrific Tech, the Excellent Eckhart, the Marvelous Maggie, the Ignanimous Ed, the Jovial Joanne, the Delightful Drake, and the Greatest Greg. Thank you for all that you do for making this show possible. We appreciate
it. Did you skip one? You skipped one.
I did?
I thought you skipped one.
Who?
Maggie?
No, you said Maggie. She was number three.
I called her the Marvelous Maggie as opposed to the
Okay. Maggie. There's seven, right?
There is seven. I counted.
Okay, then I apologize.
I'm like Santa Claus. I looked at the list. I checked it twice. So
it's in the box.
Anyway, this was a great show, guys. It was one in a million. I always enjoy hanging out with you guys. This was
fun. It was fun.
So,